All right. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6:02. Roll call, please.
Chairman Rosenblum.
Here.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams.
Here.
Treasurer Mahoney.
Here.
Secretary Schiphol.
Here.
And Director Stevens.
He did tell me he was coming tonight, so he had me detained. Public input. Okay. Next on the agenda is a presentation about the ASI GSB 88 runway preservation system by Mr. Gail Horan.
Very good. The leading cause of deterioration, pavement deterioration on an airfield is surface oxidation. UV and water and just the air oxidizing it. As a matter of fact, the Army Corps of Engineers and the FAA say as much as 70 to 90% of airfield asphalt pavement deterioration comes from surface oxidation. And not to get too much into the technical aspects, but there's three main elements to asphalt. Well, let me back up a little bit. Asphalt is made up of 94% aggregate, and properly chosen, that aggregate will not deteriorate in our lifetime. Okay. The 6% is the black stuff, the binder, that holds the aggregate in place. That is comprised of carbon, which is fixed. That's not going to deteriorate in our lifetime either. The other two critical items are what causes the problem, oils and resins. Okay? So the whole idea is, if you can save the binder of the asphalt from surface oxidation, you can significantly extend the life of the asphalt pavement. And we're getting to a point now where we believe that with repeat applications of materials like we're talking about here, you may never lose an asphalt to surface oxidation. Now, we haven't proven that yet exactly, but it surely shows up that way in all of the data that we're getting. Now, this material is a little unique. Standard asphalt binder and standard asphalt emulsions are made of three elements. One is water, one is asphalt binder, and the other is a surfactant that allows you to combine the two, put oil and water together, kind of like mayonnaise. Okay? The asphalt that we use today goes through a refining process. And over the last 30 to 40 years, we've gotten a lot better at taking the good stuff out and using it for plastics and other items that are much more expensive than leaving it in the asphalt. As a result, our asphalt quality is much worse than it used to be. So what do we do to make it better? We take the stuff that we took out earlier up and we add it back in at a greater price in some cases. So what we do with GSB 88 is in Utah, where we're from, we have natural occurring asphalts that have never been through the refining process. In fact, they come out of the ground as a solid, and they're very rich in high quality resins, and they have, and resins are the binding characteristic of the asphalt. And they're very rich in nitrogen. It's very rich in nitrogen. Now, nitrogen-based asphalt deteriorates at a significantly slower rate than oxygen-rich asphalt. Therefore, you get a much longer life. For example, if you put down a standard asphalt emulsion like a CSS 1H or a SS, some of you probably don't know about that either. But if you put that down, you're going to get about a year, maybe 2 years life out of it. This material will give you on an airfield pavement 5 to 7 years life. The closer you get to the paver, the better the long-term results. So what the FAA is actually recommending these days, what we just did at Barnstable in Massachusetts, what we're doing in Bangor, Maine, and Portland, Maine, is actually putting it on brand new asphalt. And that will give you a much longer life, but still beneficial down the line on it. And like I say, if you can take surface oxidation off the map as a contributing factor, you can significantly lengthen the life of your asphalt pavement. Any questions?
Yes. Are there cons or dangers to the new stuff you're suggesting that we put on?
No.
Nothing.
No. In fact, we've done a comprehensive environmental evaluation of the material. A very expensive one, I might add. But it takes from the raw materials, cradle to grave, as they say, from the raw materials to the disposal of the waste at the very end, and a significantly more environmentally sound than doing repaving or other other items. It's not coal tar. It's a natural asphalt. And so you don't have environmental issues at all.
And what about how much of the pavement would you do with that? Are you talking about covering the runway too, or just?
I would recommend covering every piece of asphalt that you don't want to replace.
Would that affect de-icing for the future?
It will make the icing better because it'll be black. And when the sun hits the black pavement, it'll melt the ice.
Yeah.
I could just a little background. I asked Gail to come here today because we have in FY18 on our capital improvement plan, we have the program for the runway to be grooved and sealed with this product and then remarked. So that's why we asked.
Groove first, seal second. Okay.
So this has nothing to do with the pavement surfacing that we're planning to do in the spring?
Correct. The plan is to resurface the runway with this product at this time. I don't know if at this point if we could include this product in the scope for the pavement reconstruction that we're looking at doing next spring.
If you can, you would get a much better life out of the pavement. And you're looking at about $1.25 a square yard. Now, that's not up to me, that's up to the applicators, but that's what they've told me they're generally going to be in the ballpark. The more the better. The more square yards, the better. If they have to mobilize for a small amount of square yards, you're going to pay a lot more than that. Yes?
Does this have any effect, positive or negative, on braking action?
Good question. Yes, initially. What happens when you put this down, like I said, there's three elements to asphalt, most asphalt emulsions. One of them is a surfactant. A surfactant is basically soap. So when you first put it down, if you spill a little water on it and you rub your foot on it, you're going to see it foam up. And you'll feel that it's a little bit slick. At the same time as we put the material down, we put a light skiff of sharp, hard sand down at the same time. That mitigates that friction. Also, in the FAA spec, P608, it has elements in there so that you know what the friction numbers are going to be before you do the main application. What we'll do on our And again, on taxiways and ramps, you don't have to worry about it. You know, it's not an issue. On the runways or a high-speed runway or high-speed taxiway, what we do is test strips at various application rates, and then we friction test those. That's part of the spec. In friction testing that, we then know which application rate gets the best friction, how soon it's going to come back, so we've got a great idea of what the friction is going to be on the main application. Also, that surfactant dissipates with exposure to the environment in 24 to 72 hours. So you're going to lose that slick effect Over time, anyway. It goes back up reasonably fast, and actually, the long-term projection is still better friction than you're started out with in the long run when you get down about a year or so down the line. Hey, one way to look at this, too, is when you build a deck, a wooden deck in your backyard, what's the first thing you do to it when you're done? You treat it with something, okay? Why do you do that? If you don't, it's going to oxidize. And what's going to oxidize? The oils and the resins in the wood. We've been doing this same philosophy for wood forever. We just haven't been doing it for asphalt. And it's time we start, because it's extremely effective. The data on it is overwhelming. Yes?
How long is the runway unavailable after or during the treatment?
What we normally recommend is 24 hours. What you'll do is put this, it'll take us about a day to do a normal, how big's your runway?
6,000.
Oh, piece of cake. 100 feet wide, or, okay, 100 feet wide, 6,000. We can do that in the morning. You can stripe it in the afternoon, and you can use it as soon as it's striped.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Bob Bird, National Jet Aviation. Is this a sealant or a cup or a coating?
It's what they call a fog seal, a seal coat. It's got the viscosity of water. Okay, and you'll spray it down over the top of the existing asphalt. The water will evaporate out and leave, and what's left is the asphalt residue. We design it so that it'll actually penetrate into the surface binder and reinforce that surface binder. Also, another thought for you on a potential cost-saving issue, if you have a pavement that's raveling, creating asphalt-based fog, we can come in and glue that back down for you without you having to mill and fill. We're on a virtual sole source basis with the Defense Department and the FAA for that process. In fact, the U.S. Navy contracted with us to do a base in Italy this last year, where they lost two Harriers to asphalt-based fog, and we were able to go in and glue that back down. So there's two elements to it. One is a binder. It'll hold the aggregate in place. The other is it prevents surface oxidation, the leading cause of deterioration.
Question.
Yes.
Is this process available for roads?
Yes, absolutely. Most of our business is roads.
And the municipalities are doing it?
Not in the Northeast. Well, we've got a little bit in the Northeast.
Why? Because of the...
We're doing the Northeast is mainly reason. We're out of Salt Lake City, Utah. We've done tens of thousands of square yards of road work. This is not a new material.
So why is it not being done in the Northeast?
We just got here.
Oh.
I just showed up.
Okay.
So we're a small business. We only got about 20, 25 employees. And I can only be so many places.
Well, you know, success says hire more people.
Well, there is that, too.
How long have you been in business?
We've been in business since 1977. We were in the asphalt preservation business before asphalt preservation became a buzzword. So we've been doing this a long time.
Any other questions?
Anything else? Yes.
How about the application on previously seal coated asphalt?
If it's an asphalt-based seal coat, chances are we're okay depending upon how old it is. Usually an asphalt-based seal coat will, like I said, dissipate in 1 to 2 years, and we can come over the top of that. If it's a coal tar, it's going to take a longer time. The principle there being, again, going back to the wooden deck, if you painted the wooden deck, you're going to have a tough time staining it after that. And that's coal tar is a surface coating, and it doesn't allow our material to penetrate into the surface matrix of the pavement, which is what we want to do.
Any other questions? Thank you.
I appreciate it. Any questions, let me know. Steve's got my contact information.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let the record reflect that Director Stevens has just joined us. Can we go to the secretary's report in the minutes, please?
Last meeting, there was a malfunction of the recording system, so there are no recorded minutes for the month of April. I'm sorry, for the month of May. The manager and I met the next morning, and we constructed a set of minutes based on our notes, and also it was staffed with all of the directors, and they provided a little bit of input. The minutes were reconstructed and are available in writing, and I'm going to suggest that we not approve the minutes, but rather post them on the website for a month and let people have an opportunity to read them, and if there's any comments or whatever, we'll factor that in when we meet next month to approve them. So it'll give everybody a chance to see them.
Yes. Board?
Yeah. Do you need to make a motion?
I don't see the point in that. It's a good suggestion, but we've all seen them, and it's no different than 18 months ago when we never had a recording. If we all have seen them, we've inputted them, I've read the minutes, I think they're great. Why waste time on this? Just approve them and publish them. It doesn't mean that if somebody has an issue with them, you can't go back to them and amend it. So let's just conduct business and move on. I make a motion to approve the minutes of last meeting.
Of May.
Of May.
Is there a second?
I'll second it. I have no problem with it. As long as once it's out on the website, somebody has a disagreement with it, we can go back and readdress it.
Sure.
Then it's fine.
Yeah, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Treasurer's report.
Another good month. In the month of May, finished with a favorable variance, $6,000, you know, in profit, if you will, in net income. The forecast, the original budget called for the month to be negative, so the net effect is a $9,000 favorable variance for the month, which is good. Year to date, we are $53,000 ahead of where we thought we would be, which is, again, all good. The primary drivers, both for the month and the year-to-date performance, are lower than expected. I'll call them salary and employment related expenses, benefits and payroll costs are the key contributors to the variance, both in the month and year-to-date. Any questions from any of you folks? And if not, I'll make a motion that we accept the statements as they're presented pending audit.
Second.
Discussion?
Is there any landing fees? Where is that?
I believe the landing fees will show up in the following month.
In the following month. We've seen some of the beginnings of the data, but it hasn't been closed.
They're here. They're in this packet. But we have landing fee information.
Yeah, but it's not in the statements at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. We'll move on to the budget.
Yes, directors, you have in your packet the proposed budget for FY 2017. This has been in process by Steve and Mary Beth and several of us for some time now. What we're looking at right now would be very similar to what we're running under for the FY 16 budget. Total expected budgeted income would be $539,000. Total expected budget expenses would be $528,000. What that leaves you with is basically a minor revenue positive budget. That's what we propose to finalized with the city, which would tell them that we are not planning on asking them for additional monies. I have looked at this, you know, and have been, since I've been here, looking at the costs that have been incurred as they've been going along month to month. I think it's reasonable. I think it's attainable. And, you know, no budget is ever a guarantee because things sometimes occur that are beyond the ability to forecast. But based on the expenses that we have been incurring and based on the expenses that we ran in the 2016 fiscal year, I would expect that this is something that we ought to be able to do. So I think it's a fair and reasonable estimate of what we can expect for revenues and what we can expect for expenses. One change that I note from last year to this year, and I will thank Steve and Mary Beth for putting it together, is a time phasing of the of this plan month by month so that you can look and see the way the airport manager expects the costs to come in. And we'll measure against that so that you can see where the variance is, you know, month by month as they arise. We're seeing something like that now, but we've not seen it in this detail before. So for that, I was thankful to Mary Beth, I guess. So, any questions? You folks.
Yes, I hate to do a line by line, but a few things caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Why is our workers' comp forecast so low?
It's typically based on actuals, but, you know, and if you don't claim, you don't pay. But I'll let you guys give the details if that's...
It went from 17 to 10.
Yeah, FY16 was the first year we incurred the cost of the workers' compensation.
Uh-huh.
So the quotes that we originally got in the beginning when we first put the FY16 budget together apparently came in a little high. And we've also had some personnel changes, too, that I think will work to lower that cost.
So you shopped it out a little bit more aggressively and got some better prices, basically.
Correct.
We had basically over-budgeted that because this year the cost is about $9,000.
Yeah. That's what I mean when I said about looking at it is I'm not as familiar with it as some of you guys have been around for a longer time. But when I look across the months and across the expenditures that we've been having, nothing, you know, based on what we've been performing so far, I look at this at both the projections for revenue and the projections for expense, and they're reasonable to me. They look like they're within line of what you might, you know, be expecting.
Well, it looks like total wages have gone up a little, which is normal,
right?
Just a few percentage, but the other labor burden items for benefits and insurances associated with labor have gone down. Probably because of our younger workforce,
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the when you add up the total labor cost from FY16 versus FY17, the difference is about $1,000 increase. So
okay.
Part of it is the workforce that we have now. The benefits cost less. We have different plans for different employees, so that works out to our favor.
Yeah, and I know one item that's totally missing, and that's our CIP involvement. Are we forecasting that we have no expenditures for our construction improvement program?
There's still the expectation, and I know that you know, we present the capital improvement plan to the city as a separate part of this thing, and there's an expectation that for the things that we've been doing that they're going to come alongside. But this is really the operating budget, and this I look at as standing alone, separate from and distinct from that. Mary Beth and Steve report those things on a monthly basis as a separate part of this thing.
But the city doesn't fund it. Whatever the city doesn't fund, we fund.
True.
And so how much would that be?
For FY16, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, did you want to? The city agreed to give us $22,500 for FY16 for the phase one of the pavement project that we're about to go through. And looking at the mayor's budget, it looks like for FY17, they have agreed to continue that funding at $24,500, so a total of $47,000 so far for the pavement project.
And nothing for the master plan?
That's what it looks like, yes, correct.
The master plan would cost around $24,000.
At 5% of $400,000, so.
That's $20,000.
Can, I would recommend then that we add that to this budget, add a line item. If the city's already told us they're not gonna fund it, it's, you know, the budget can be changed, but at this point in time, we know it's gonna be a 2016-17 expense. And this board's gonna have a lot of change over the next 6 months probably. They'd be wondering why we didn't forecast it, right?
Right, and we also know that we're gonna have around a $50,000 plus surplus this year.
Right. We're in that vicinity right now, we've got a month left to run.
Which would more than fund it.
Which is because we haven't made any CIP investments this year. That's a, so this will be the first year in about 6 years that our operation and our CIP budget together have not been a combined loss. So if we don't make, depending on what we do next 2 years, 2 months, which I'm sure next we can't blow $50,000.
It would be, it would, it's theoretically possible, but it would take some doing.
And it's your first job as treasurer, you come out with a profit, good job.
You haven't seen my bill yet.
You're supposed to be.
I just wanted to add that the P&L that we showed you here doesn't include the registration fees that we just recently received.
We did get the check?
We have gotten the check of $56,000 for registration fees for calendar year 15. Right. Well, I guess it's fiscal year. I'm not sure how DOT does it, but for last year's aircraft registration fees, our cut was $56,000. So.
And we have budgeted $40,000.
Correct, yeah. We budgeted $40,000 again only because it's with the budget. The budget, well, also because the budget came out before we knew what that number was going to be. Right. So.
Well, do we want to change it now and like move it to still be conservative and move it up to like $50,000?
That's entirely at the pleasure of the board.
I would recommend that we move that number up to what we expected to be, more like $50,000, and we add the CIP expense for the master plan, which is $24,000. I may have that with me.
Is there agreement on the board for that?
My suggestion would be to break it even. So if you're going to move it, either move it to $54,000 or what have you, and where your budget is revenue positive by $10,004, if you want to add $24,000 in there to cover that thing, I'd make the registration fees $54,000. I'd make the CIP the $24,000, and I'd break the thing even so that again you're not sending a message that you're going to be asking for money. Because otherwise, if you go in with a revenue negative budget, you're basically declaring to the city that you're going in that you're going to need some money.
Well, if we have a cash account, what's our cash on hand? Or CIDs, whatever.
$60,000.
Sixty.
I want to say $60,000. Is that correct?
We have a CD for $68,000 right now. We also have money in our project account to the tune of $169,000, but there are some expenses that are going to come out of that. I think in total, cash on hand, we have approximately $220,000.
But we have obligations against that?
As far as I can tell, that's our cash on hand, that's not obligated.
I don't think that we should be jerry-rigging the balance sheet to suggest to the city that we're not going to come knocking on the door for money next cycle. We should be knocking on their door for some money next year.
Not operational, and it fully, the city fully expects us to be 100% self-reliant,
right,
operationally and CIP.
Okay, I thought you said you're going to mix apples on.
Not really.
So I don't. What I'm saying is, I don't mind showing a loss because it's no different than the last 7 years, 6 or 7 years. We've always shown a loss with when we look at the CIP portion of the budget. As well.
Okay, I may have misunderstood. I'm just saying we should not do anything with this budget that is going to communicate to the city that we are flying high and we don't need any help from them.
Well, what it does is show them that without their involvement and participation in our capital improvement program, then we do have a net loss, and we can't sustain that. So we either have to give that up, or we need their participation.
Yeah, the difference that I have with you, Dennis, on that is that I don't think that has to be done in the presentation of a budget that's already negative. I think you can certainly present the operating side of the house as either break even or minor positive, and then as part of the declaration to the city when you turn the thing over, you say, and this fully, you fully understand that there is this a capital improvement portion of this of our costs that we have been participating with you on for so long, and if for whatever reason you chose not to do that, then that would change our financial situation, because we then have to go and fund that self by self.
I agree, and what I've always done is I put project share, the CIP project share, at the very end.
Right.
I show our operational expenses and how it balances
not
out,
not
and
opposed
that
to doing that.
Show
yeah,
that.
Not opposed to doing
and,
that.
And that way we can get them both in there.
I just like on the operating side of the house to show it, to show that we're not coming in saying we're planning for failure.
Right. Which it helps us to show the extra.
Right.
$10,000 in the registration fees.
Right. I don't disagree with that.
Steve, please keep in mind too that the city has pledged $47,000 to us to help us with those capital costs. So I don't know if you want to reflect that in your budget.
That's for 2 years worth, though, right?
That's it correct. Is. Yeah.
Yeah, and it hasn't been approved yet either, so it's proposed.
I call it a wash. I say it's money
half
in, money
has.
Out.
Half of it has been approved.
Okay.
Last year's.
But that's money in, money out, though, so it's kind of a wash. If you want to show it as coming in, going out. On the capital improvement at the end of the at the end of our balance sheet, that would at least let everybody know what's going to happen.
I guess I would like to show maybe two separate budgets. One is the operating side, and then maybe a notation down below of an additional cost.
I kind of like the way Dennis has got it portrayed in the sheet that he's got, where you could do that by just adjusting this page right here. You could add a line down here where what he's saying is NAA projects, right? And then you could then strike one more total down there that shows.
It'd be really nice. See the last line there?
Yeah.
If you look at the last line, it shows that's cash on hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's always something that every director wants to know.
Mm.
So it would be nice to see how it ends the year.
So you want me to make let me take a crack at a motion here? Okay, so my motion would be that we amend the budget that's presented right now to increase the state of New Hampshire registration fees to $50,000. To add a line at the bottom that shows the expected CIP expenses that the city is going to contribute, and then to strike a grand total that shows the net of the budget as presented, increased by the $50,000, or increased to the $50,000 for registration fees. And show the net of those CIP costs, so that you're able to see what the difference would be if those were not granted.
We want to show the CIP expenses.
Yeah.
Okay.
CIP expenses. Yeah.
That's what I did say. CIP
expenses.
I thought so. Mm-hmm. I tried to be specific. That would be my motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion. What would the net figure be after those changes?
Well, if we go from 40 to 50, the $10,449 will be $20,449. You know, for the projected net ordinary income, it'd be a straight $10,000 increase.
And then below that, we would show a $24,000 CIP
contribution.
And what's our
expense?
What's our contribution level?
It's our expense. It's their contribution.
5%.
Yeah.
For the master plan.
Correct. Yeah.
which would then allow us to say to the city that we are, from an operating side, we're running positively. There's an expectation that you guys are going to meet the needs for the expense of for their share of the CIP. If you don't, this is what this means.
What was the final cost of master plan? 450?
440.
440?
Rough number.
So that's really 22,000, right?
Right.
5%.
Yeah. So it's a negative 12,000, roughly, to what is already presented here. So it'll be a total loss of the year for $2,000. It's pretty darn tight. We're a non-profit organization. Do we have our marketing money in here?
So everyone, was there a second to the motion?
You did.
Okay. So is there any other discussion? Does everyone understand the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next on the agenda is communications.
There were 4 communications received for this period, numbers 8, 9, 10, and 11. The first 3, one from Mr. Liu, from Mr. Wheeler, and Dr. Stein, all deal with the formation of the Lease Policy Committee. They're all on file and available. That subject was discussed at the last board meeting. The 4th one, number 11, is from Mr. Ward, who's here this evening and will be discussing a portable hydroponic farm on the airport property. That's it on communications. They're all in your packet, yes.
Thank you. Reports, Tower report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the month of May, we saw a slight decline in the operations for the same time period of 2015. The variance was a decline of 1,617 operations, or 27%. The total operations for May of 2015 were at over 6,000, which is an unusually high number. I think the cabin fever broke at that point last spring, and folks were flying, so I think that might explain the difference. Overall, we're ahead 17% over last year, year to date, which is a positive sign. The jet operations for May were low in comparison to the average, I would say. We had about 80.
Do we have any sense as to this report is based on when the tower is open? Yeah. Do we have any idea as to how many operations there are at once the tower closes?
We really don't, no, and they're not reflected in the tower counts at all.
Is it anywhere in New England? Or?
There's devices you can add to your airport. Non-towered airports sometimes have sound devices or even have a physical device that'll measure operations. Some airports will add a percentage to their operations. But officially, I'm not sure the FAA will recognize those as tower counts. I could look into that if you're interested in finding out more.
No, just curious.
Yep.
Airport manager report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wildlife activity in the airport has been light with no reported strikes. We did have the commemorative Air Force visit last week. We had a lot of great publicity for the airport. The WMUR coverage was picked up by the Associated Press and received nationwide coverage. They were very happy with the visit, and they said they will be back. Also on Friday, the New Hampshire Aviation Historical Society held their annual member fly-in over at Hangar 81. Thank you, Mac Air. Very, very successful event, and the two events together were gold. I wish we could have that every weekend. It was great. The airport will host a home-built and experimental fly-in on June 9th with a rain date of July 10th. I'm sorry, on July 9th with a rain date of July 10th. All types of home-built and experimental aircraft are welcome. If you have an airplane that's unique or interesting, please bring it down. The idea is we're going to open this event up to the general public, invite the city of Nashua here to check out these unique and interesting airplanes, and hopefully promote the airport and general aviation, and hopefully get some folks hooked. And we're currently looking for volunteers for that event as well. Planning for Wings and Wheels has begun. We're currently soliciting for vehicles and aircraft. The date of the event is August 6th. Please spread the word. We're also looking for volunteers for that event and aircraft. Again, the idea is to bring people to the airport. It's a community event for families, and we want to expose as many young folks as we can to aviation. Try to get them hooked on it, like most of us in this room have been. We have the second Barfield movie night scheduled for August 5th at dusk. We'll be screening Star Wars: The Force Awakens, and we will have free popcorn. And maybe ice cream if we can arrange that. Thank you, Secretary Scheifel. Should be able to get an ice cream truck there, I would think. Continental Paving's agreed to pay for the removal of trees on Sharon Ave in exchange for allowing them to stage equipment on the airport. This will allow our VOR-32 approach to be utilized at night. We're working with the Conservation Commission. We will be working with the Conservation Commission. And our consultant, Gail, is helping us with that project to remove the trees. The trees are directly across from Rapid Sheet Metal on Sharon Ave. You'll see where Aldi has done some drainage work, some level spreaders. They're kind of right next to that. They're very tall pines right there.
Is it on our property?
It's on city property. In speaking with Roger Houston, he's not exactly sure which department we would talk to about getting permission to cut those down, but we're working on it. There's also one tree over at Law Warehouse that would have to be removed as well. We're in preliminary talks with Angel Flight New England for them to host their annual member fly-in, annual member appreciation fly-in here at Warfield next summer. We have the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association will be conducting one of their Cirrus Pilot Proficiency Program training weekends here from August 12th to 14th. There'll be evening events for their members and training all weekend at the DWC Aviation Center. Our hope is to make this an annual event. On June 13th, Bob, Secretary Scheifel and I met with an aviation marketing consultant named Alice D'Souza. She is the former director of the New Hampshire Travel and Tourism for 8 years, and she's a pilot, and she's a aviation consultant. So we'll be working with her. We're going to put together a simple not to exceed contract to see how she can help us with our marketing of the airport. The FAA yesterday released its final policy on the non-aeronautical use of hangars. The policy goes into effect on July 1st, 2017, and allows for the storage of non-aeronautical items so long as they do not displace or hinder aeronautical use. And also aircraft building will now be considered an aeronautical use. The Airport Authority submitted a comment. They received 2,400 comments, over 2,400 comments on that issue. I think it'll be helpful for airports and for hangar owners and users.
And clarify for the board, this is pretty much, there's already guidelines for non-aviation use on grant assured airports, okay, right. which we are. This is a lessening of the rules.
It is, yeah, it is. It allows hangar owners to store non-aeronautical items in their hangar, and I'm still fuzzy on the details because I'm being told that the items have to be incidental to aircraft use.
No, I disagree.
And that's...
I just read it. It pretty much, as long as you, as long as they don't impede the ability of putting your aircraft in or out of the hangar, you can use the hangar for non-aviation use.
And as long as it doesn't displace aviation, correct? Yeah, but I'm being told something slightly different by DOT, so I need to get some clarification there. It also, after July 17th, 2017, it will allow airport sponsors to enter into a month-by-month agreement with hangar owners to have non-aeronautical items on airport property, so.
And it's important to note that the FAA stresses that when an airport allows non-aviation use, they need to have one FAA approval through a certain application process, which I don't think would be hard to get. But two, that we need to make sure that they're not, the non-aviation uses aren't, I guess, paying the same rent, okay?
Right.
That's basically what they come down and say. That there should be higher charges for them to make sure that they're not competing with aviation use.
Wes?
Just to add to the discussion.
For the record.
Wes Liu, for the record. AOPA website has a link to the FAA website, which has frequently asked questions, and it's pretty comprehensive. And I was surprised to see that they talk about, you know, leasing off aircraft property for airport property to non-aviation uses for periods of like 5 years, so long as the lease provides for, if there's a demand for an aviation use, that it can be converted.
30-day cancellation.
Right. Yeah. But if anyone here wants to see that, I found it through the AOPA website that took me to FAA.
Lastly, our tenant appreciation barbecue will be held at our shop Thursday, July 14th from 5 to 7:30, and everybody is welcome to attend. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Do you have a question?
I'd just like to make a comment that I saw most of this in an email a few days ago that highlighted the events, and I got to say that when I looked at that and read it, I was thinking that it was the single best marketing thing that we've ever published. Okay, if it goes out to everybody that we can possibly get it out to, and we do it once a month, I got to say, I'd sign up for the information. You know, I think anybody who sees it and knows it's getting published once a month of activities going on, they might be interested in signing up to be on the email list. Did anybody not see it?
That was my question. That was the question.
Anybody not see it?
Did anybody not receive it?
I was very pleasantly surprised to get it, and I think you ought to send it to the Pittsburgh Pops Association, EA Chapter 106 down in Lawrence, the New Hampshire Pops Association, such as it exists.
All the aldermen.
Yeah.
The New Hampshire Pops Association got it, and I've added the chairman of the EA 106. I don't know what his title is.
Oh,
president.
The email. It was.
Okay.
It's my wife's comment.
I've lost track, but yeah, they do have an email. So president of EA.
Yeah. So I've added him to our.
Plymouth just gave us the number too. I gave to Bob. They just gave us their email. Plymouth Airport. They all want to kind of interact with us and. Know what's going on here and there, so we should.
I was
going to add Monadnock Aviation to the list.
Yeah.
And then next thing you send it out, put a pilot shop and a Midfield Cafe link on the bottom of it.
Coupon. A Groupon.
There you go. Well, actually, a Groupon.
But I still think you should print something out and have it hanging up at the restaurant or down at Ronnie's place. Or, you know, I think people, the visual thing is great, because not everybody, especially me, not everybody goes online and looks at that stuff. Or,
we know you do. You were online just a moment ago before the meeting for Carmen.
That was FaceTime. Oh, that was
different.
All right. Well, I just did a good job.
Thank you.
Fantastic marketing.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
I want to build on that, because I saw the same thing, and in the email exchanges that have been going back and forth in the lead up to the meeting, one of the things that crossed my mind was, if we don't have, and now I'm going to talk as much to the folks who are here that represent organizations that have hangers available or whatever, if we don't have a card that can be handed out when people do come to these things, we ought to, or we ought to set up a table for Mac Air and all these other guys that might be interested in trying to woo somebody over here from somebody else about the benefits of being at Nashua as opposed to being at, you know, Minuteman or Fitchburg or Manchester or Lawrence or wherever, because you never know, right? Just a thought.
Comment. There's a blast email in process. We're collaborating and to work on that to push out information as much as possible. There's going to be a request that, you know, you guys say, the community says, okay, we don't see our name on there. We want to be on there, so we're going to be asking for email if we don't have it already. The other thing I wanted to mention was that I spent a little time out here last week when the B-29 was here, the crew, and I talked with them. I just wanted to, a little undercover work, to find out, you know, how they felt. And they tell me they loved this place. I mean, they said it was fantastic. They felt so welcome. They complimented the airport staff, and the folks that were on the staff as so welcoming. And I don't know if you, can I tell them how much they earned? They collected $82,000 they collected over that weekend, which probably get them enough gas to get home.
What's more impressive is the number of people.
Yeah, 3,500 people.
And of course, the weather had a great deal to do with it, but they were just thrilled to death.
And they had more than 5 full rides.
Every six, ride was six. Everything was booked. Every single seat
was
booked.
Who can afford that? No, they're their Father's Day prizes, what they were.
Did they buy their fuel here? Or
yeah, they did.
Yeah, they bought a lot of under Lola. A lot of.
Give you an idea of how much they carry. I was at an air show behind the B-17, and they asked for 1,000 gallons.
Well, how fast they burn it? How fast they burn it, though?
Pretty fast.
100 gallons an hour per engine.
Yeah.
Times 400 gallons
four.
An hour.
Times four. Yeah. So that doesn't count the time they're sitting minutes. On the runway.
Well, you notice they shut two of them down in the areas.
Well, that's so they don't wipe out our taxiway lights, too.
Yeah. I also wanted to echo how pleased I was to see that so many events are planned and are happening at Nashua, and the airport manager's report is a little more detailed now that show about what has been going on sort of behind the scenes, and we will continue to promote and get new activities and get more activities here at the airport. So kudos to staff and to Secretary.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
How about those two leases?
They're in progress. I've delivered them to the tenants, and I'm the ball's in their court now.
Okay.
Do we have an engineer report?
We have a report. We don't have an engineer. Okay. I'm happy to deliver the report if you like, or we can save it for next time.
Well, if there's anything that has changed.
Is there anything
it's
changes?
In your packet, and there's nothing changed.
Nothing changed. Okay. Any comments on the
engineer's report? I guess I'd like to have an update on where you think the closure of the fence project is. Are they done?
They are done. All the physical work is done. We are in the process now of closing out the project and submitting the final retainage to them.
Okay.
So it's going to take some time still, but it's completely done.
Any new word on FAA funding release?
No word. That won't be till August at the very earliest. Probably more like October.
And no committee reports. Any old business? In new business, we have the Oasis Spring Farm permission to locate a hydroponic shipping container in Hangar 113.
Mr. Chris Ward.
Chris Ward.
Chris Ward. Here from
Chris Ward.
Hi, Chris.
I'll try and be brief. I know this is not too interesting.
Want to put a picture up?
We could, if you like, yeah.
Do you want to come in?
You have a picture in your packet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, they won't be able to see. There we go.
There's usually a, is there a moat over there?
It should, I think it should just...
To the left?
Maybe it's already on.
There you go.
Once it warms up, it should just project up there. Dennis, can you hit those top two rows of lights there? Just the top two, yeah, that's good.
There you go. Do we need to select the screen here?
No, just turn it around.
It's coming here, it's, hey, look at that.
Okay.
All right, so my wife and I are starting a part-time business. It's basically a hydroponics farm, growing lettuce and herbs and whatnot for, you know, higher-end restaurants or produce wholesalers. So this unit right here is what we're purchasing. It's a recycled shipping container, 8 feet by 40 feet. It's the ones that they use to ship stuff, you know, across the oceans. It's been outfitted with all kinds of state-of-the-art hydroponics equipment and LED lights and environmental controls and that. So we'd be looking to, you know, lease space to put it inside one of the hangars. Basically, we think it should be able to produce about 800 heads of lettuce a week. Again, we'd be selling that to produce wholesalers. Basically, if you don't know much about hydroponics, it's you know, growing without soil. It's a very condensed area. The stuff grows in these towers. Ideal lighting and temperature and humidity and all that makes stuff grow very fast compared to doing it in soil, you know. So, see, what should you guys know about this? Once the unit's here, we don't anticipate that there would be any deliveries or pickups by anybody other than my wife and I in our van. We'll have no employees besides ourselves that would be working on this. Once it's up and going, we anticipate between 15 and 20 hours a week we'd be spending in there doing the harvesting and planting the stuff. Basically, we crate it up, put it in our minivan, take it out. Initially, it's probably going to take a lot. The first month or two would probably be in there a lot more than that, trying to operate and get things figured out. It does use electricity and water. Electricity basically for the lights, and there's an air conditioning unit that runs even in the winter because the lights put out a lot of heat. Water, it has a 180-gallon tank. It's basically a closed-loop system. Mm-hmm. The water is continually recycled through. Every 2 weeks, we kind of need to top that water off. And every 3 months, we drain the water and put new water in. The water's not toxic in any ways. The only thing that's in it is water and nutrients. There's no fertilizers, no herbicides, anything like that. And the water can be put in the sewer, storm drain, or right into the ground. Let's see. That's basically all the details. I don't, you know, I'd be willing to answer whatever questions you guys may have.
Board have any questions?
I have a couple.
Cool. I was just the only one. Are there any licensing fees that you need to secure from anybody other than the airport to do this? Is there any kind of, you know, city involvement or something like that?
We do need to get some health inspection and they call it good handling practice certifications and stuff like that. So the only people we'd be bringing into this is potentially maybe, you know, some people who do some inspections like that, maybe a chef from a restaurant if they want to see how the stuff is growing and that kind of stuff. But
you don't need a permit of any kind of, in essence, run a farm.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically it's a farm. Yeah. No. Yeah,
so that I was going to ask about licensing and registration too, because, you know, I know that's what we have to do with the city and the state, so, you know, that has to be done. And this is like a year-round. This will be a year-round thing for you? And where, Mary, maybe you can answer, like, water-wise.
We can use the water from a hose or whatever in the building.
But the drainage and stuff, where would that go? just out of the building, or where would that go?
There's a drain.
There's a drain right up. There's a drain in the hangar.
Okay. In the hangar.
Right in the hangar. That's a drain.
We have to put a 220 in there.
Yeah, we do have to.
And we'll do that if you approve it. It's temporary, right, Chris? This is, what he's trying to do, we haven't given you a lot of background. What he's trying to do is get the permits from the city to put it on his own property.
Okay.
But he wants to get this started. And as soon as he gets the permit, Alderman McCarthy is trying to help him with all of this because he thinks it's a terrific idea for people. So he's helping him with that on his property, and they're asking us to put it on temporarily so that he can get this started, and on his own property, he's going to grow, correct? Are you going to try to put more aside?
Yeah, that's a plan.
This is a temporary thing. We don't know how long until he gets the permits, but that's the process he's going through. Does that help?
Which hangar are we talking about?
113.
113.
Down across from Infinity.
Are you doing this anywhere else?
No.
This is the one.
This is
what else?
Next to seeing our helicopter.
113 used to be where Louis Edmonds was?
Davis.
Where Bob Davis was before.
So would this share space with the hangar? Would the hangar be used for other purposes as well as?
Yes, there's others in there already. There's other vehicles and things like that in there.
Okay.
And this will fit nicely. This will.
Again, it's he's under the understanding that if, based on the FAA's new ruling, that if somebody comes in and wants to put airplanes in there, everybody's out.
The lettuce has to go, honey.
Lettuce to go.
Lettuce to go.
Now, does the cafe get a reduced price when
they come? Yeah, that's right. It'll be some good selling.
The only comment, are we discussing this? I'm just asking questions.
Sure. I think we're still getting input.
Okay.
I'd like to see some kind of MSDS or some kind of product sheet on the nutrients. I just want to be sure that whatever we're putting into the storm drains is legally allowed to do so.
I can get that.
Okay.
The record.
Yeah, Andy Nines, record. Just a question: if this water has nutrients in it and such, can you put it on our grass and have our grass?
A lot of people who have these, they would certainly not throw that water away. You'd use it on your gardens or things like that. Yeah, it's very good water. Yeah.
I'd just say that non-aviation uses historically and keep from having a double standard and discrimination, that non-aviation use should always incur double the rental price, the rental cost for that particular facility. Now, double is still not a hardship because we don't charge much as it is, but I want to put that out there.
Is it double? Is that what it is, Steve?
Oh. Yes.
Okay. Mary, is that what you're understanding? Mary?
Excuse me? I'm sorry.
Was that your understanding, the non-aviation use?
That's
fee?
What you did the last time, that somebody
moved
it
down.
Yeah.
What's
that's
what is
that
it,
40
by
what? That would be understood by us anyway. We were contemplating that.
Yeah, so we shouldn't even have to ever have an issue. If it's non-aviation use, it should just be automatic.
The problem here is that I would say we can be somewhat lenient. 113, how big is that? How many square feet?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
4,200 maybe?
4,200, okay, so, but there's going to be other things in there with this.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, if it's that small, then I would say I wouldn't make a split, because the whole hangar is probably on aviation, but if it was a large hangar and it was just one section, I wouldn't want to, charge the whole square footage of the entire hangar.
No, we understand. No. We contemplated that.
I just want to add one thing, Mr. Chair. In anticipation of the presentation today and your consideration, per the current rules, I asked the Department of Transportation for permission for a temporary non-aeronautical use, and it was approved today. So they allowed up to a year. If it goes beyond a year, then I'll have to come back and ask for permission again. So
question.
I just had a question. The picture shows an air conditioning unit on the side of the unit, and that's going to be exhausting inside of the hangar. I'm just a little confused about, so that's going to be heating up the inside of the hangar, right?
Yeah, I guess it would. It would
cut down on the heat bills.
But is it CO2?
No. It's just
heat recycled.
It's a heat exchanger. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Our hangars aren't really insulated or sealed. They're generally.
Any other questions?
Can we try a motion?
Go ahead.
Go for it. I have moved that we approve our tenant's request to use Hangar 113 as a non-aviation use for storing a hydroponic shipping crate by Oasis Spring Farm. With the conditions that the authority charge the standard double rate for non-aviation use. Two, that the sublease, that the agreement is subject to a 30-day cancellation if there is a need for aviation use of the hangar. And three, that would be for a term of 1 year.
And four, that it be pending
DOT.
The DOT or the airport manager's concerns about the wastewater disposal.
Agreed.
So do we need that?
Do we need two in there?
No, I don't think we need two in there.
Because that's a
standard.
Right. Two is the
double
the aviation rate?
Yeah, yeah, that's standard. We don't need that. Anything non-aviation is just...
But we're actually modifying their lease. I think we're approving this subject to that. It's not... They have a lease for a certain rental rate. We have to... We're going to change it, and they're requesting we have to make it... I think it's necessary.
And what about the 30-day cancellation?
The reason I added that is that that's part of the FAA approval process, that if we're going to have non-aviation use, that if there is a need for aviation to use that hangar, that there's a 30-day cancellation clause. Not that anybody's going to need it. We have plenty of space probably for several years, but that's one of their stipulations, that they're approving this.
Okay.
So when Steve said he had FAA approval, I imagine that's kind of wrapped into that approval.
Just so we get our ducks in a row, was there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Bob seconds. Any other discussion? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Good luck with your project. Public input.
Actually, Frank Dudas, I'm an old fixture here. I'm working with EAA headquarters in Oshkosh to try to get a workshop here in October. They go around the country doing workshops, sheet metal, fabric, welding, and so on. It's usually a 2 to 3 day affair. The last one we had here was about 4 years ago, I believe, maybe longer. They did one in Lawrence, and then they did one in Hanscom. They didn't like those areas as much as they like this. So they contacted me and asked me if I could make some inroads to see if we could get Daniel Webster College's building for that particular use in October. So we're working on that. That is not concluded at this point, but Daniel Webster is all for it. That's a plus. And now we're just waiting to hear from EAA headquarters. But I think that draws a lot of people in here. We have a number of planes flying in and driving in to partake of these classes. That's what we're working on it yet.
That's great. If there's anything we can do to help facilitate your efforts, Steve will be happy
to
work with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mary, did you have something?
I have two things. I came in with a few kiddos to Cindy's restaurant on the B29 here, and they all were working so hard. There was a line out the door, and everybody was out there on the deck. Cindy is like an anchor. She really is. If people weren't watching the plane, they were eating at her restaurant. The other thing I want to say is that I've done this before. I went down to the end of the runway, down on Sharon Ave, and everybody was lined up in the fence, and they had lots of kiddos. And I went down there, and I said, you know, you can go down there, down the road into the airport, and you could watch from there. Everybody said they didn't know they were welcome on the airport. They thought they had to be flyers. So I think, and that there was a restaurant here. I think that you need to do something about that. You need to let the public know that they're welcome in. I don't know how to do that, but people don't know there's a restaurant here. They really don't. The city.
A lot of people do, but a lot don't. And that is actually in my director comments for today.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Let's go to director's comments. Let's start at the end, Director Stevens.
I'm good, thank you.
Secretary Scheifele.
Yeah, a couple of things.
Andy?
One comment here, Andy Nines, for the record. Director Stevens, in the April meeting, as sort of your impetus for the problems that we had in the May meeting, you went on and talked about all the losses the airport had over the last 5 or 6 years every year. Now, listening to the conversation at today's meeting, I get the impression that what you did was you included some of the capital expenses in the operating side to come up with a loss, because your audited financial statements show that there's been a positive cash flow for virtually every year, all but 1 year, all but 2013, which was in the middle of the year of the runway. My point is that if that's what you did, you included the capital improvement project costs in there, I would strongly urge you to take it out when you're talking to the city and say, from an operations standpoint, the airport is doing okay, is paying its way, and there is this capital budget over here that there's a problem with. We're not making enough money in the operations side to pay for the capital side also, and that's where the problem is in this airport, because you don't want the city to start thinking that the airport is not paying its way on an operations standpoint, and they're doing a very good job, as Mr. Bork and I have had a number of conversations about that. I think he's done an excellent job in operating the airport, given the budget that it has and the revenue that it generates. And I don't think we ought to give the impression to the city that that's not true.
You're exactly right, and you mirror my comments exactly that I have to the previous mayor when I presented the 2016 budget to her in early 2015. And what we stress, and we've only done this for two sessions, okay, this year and last year, what we stress is that operationally we are okay.
Yeah.
And we want and expect help from the city, as the city, you know, because we pay our taxes, etc., for our capital improvement program. And here's our capital improvement. So, and that's why we go to the CIC. Okay, we ask the money through the city's CIC process, which is our capital improvement committee, which is capital money. We don't ask the city for operational money, and never have that I know of.
And I'd like to echo that. When I attended and presented our next year's budget to the finance committee, the budget committee of the aldermen, the focus was our operational budget, and we did show a surplus in the operational side. And we says, oh, by the way, in addition to the operation, we need your assistance for the capital. And that's where our request has been.
One thing we did point out is that we have been financing our own capital improvements previous to this last year, okay? And that our savings account has gone from $560,000 in 2011 to $477,000 to $370,000 to $164,000. I thought it was around $120,000 right now, but it's jumped up to $220,000 for some reason. That's great. I don't know how. That's why I think we owe money. We owe capital money for projects. Anyway, thank you.
But I'd like to also mention that in the discussions that we had with the marketing representative this last couple of days, that is an element of the marketing goals, is to educate our elected officials and others in the community. And Manager Burke also met with the new city economic director to educate them as to the value of this airport, the economic impact that it has on the city, the amount of taxes that are paid, and the spillover of, you know, hotels and rental cars and shopping and all that kind of stuff. So that's also going to be a part of that process.
Do you want to follow
yes.
up?
Yes. I've noticed almost every time I come out to the airport and I'm over by the office, that when those gates are opened, 99% of the vehicles that are going in or out don't stop and wait for the gate to come down. So I'm wondering, perhaps the gate is staying up too long. I stood there and watched it today. And by the time the person made it all the way out to Perimeter Road, the gate started moving. So maybe we ought to look into changing the cycle on it.
We have talked about that in the past.
There's a potentiometer inside that control okay. box.
I mean, you're sitting there waiting for it.
Our choices are, it used to be a lot longer, but our choices right now are 2.5 seconds for it to stay open, or where it's at right now is 7.5 seconds, which seems like an eternity. I don't know.
I have to tell you, I think it's more than 7 seconds.
Wes Liu, 2.5 seconds isn't bad because it does have an electric a photocell.
Yeah.
So if it goes up and I go park it in front of the photocell, yeah.
That one doesn't have a photocell. It has a ground loop on the inside, and that's all it has for a
really?
Safety device. It has a bump
Ooh,
strip
lucky
on, the,
guy.
On the bottom.
Okay.
That one doesn't have a photocell.
Well, there's no danger of anybody parking at the gate where it's coming down.
Oh,
you'd
be surprised.
I don't know. I see them either 300 feet down or 300 feet this way. One way or the other.
It's really
I wouldn't be surprised if one of the DW kids tried to race it.
No, these were commercial vehicles. And the other point that I wanted to make was I don't see a lot of parking permits on the cars on the airport. And it's a rule that's supposed to be there. So please, you know, your folks, they need to get those parking permits. The fence, the white fence right by your stairwell, okay, it's this far off the ground. And I know a lot of critters that can make it under that fence. I'm just wondering if we need to do something and close the gate that comes in the long walk down to your restaurant.
I don't think that's wise, and I'll tell you why. Because we closed it for the commemorative Air Force.
No. I'm saying at the end of the day, the end of the night. I'm not talking about closing it.
But there are people who fly in at night that need to get off the airport or come in. You know, there are pilots who come and go that can do that cipher lock. Mm-hmm. You can close the gate, but maybe don't lock it. You know,
I'm not suggesting it need to be locked. I'm just saying.
Are you talking critters or
instead
are you talking
of
humans?
Filling in the gap that's this big all along, you know, it's about 50
yeah.
to 75 feet long.
Right, I know.
It goes from the hangar
yeah.
past your place all the way to the end
right.
of the building.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's always been like that.
Your concern is that an animal would get onto the
yeah.
runway?
I mean, we're concerned about closing the gates and everything else about it.
Yeah.
And
no.
that they just walk, they can just walk right
oh.
in there.
Well, though, yeah.
All right, it's something to be looked at.
Yeah.
And with respect to the, we don't know that there's an airport here. I agree. And I've been looking at the corner of Sharon and Pine Hill. And I've been looking at where we make the right turn to come on to the airport, right opposite the fire station. There's a large grassy area there with very high bushes. I think we ought to look into some, you know, like massive signs.
Absolutely.
Welcome to Nashua Airport. And I, as I mentioned to Steve,
pilots and non-pilots.
And I mentioned to Steve when we were out on the runway, if you look up at the tower, which we own, it says Nashua Aviation Center, Daniel Webster College, and the letters are kind of blech. I mean, we need something up there to say to the pilots, and then we don't. Welcome to Nashua, New Hampshire, the best place to live in America. You know, money maker. You know, we. And I'm going to talk to the marketing person and we're going to come up with some suggestions.
All we need is just a group of people collecting donations. I know I would contribute to developing that corner for the airport. It'd be nice if we had an experimental plan.
Yeah, we're going to have to be a little bit careful on the corner, though, because I think we need to get the board of aldermen for that area, because we don't want to anger the community that's living right next door to an airport by putting something there that's so obvious. But down by the car wash, we could certainly put a sign up on our fence, and we can certainly put a sign at the entrance to the airport on the left-hand side there, welcome to the Nashua Airport, and at least get some visibility out. And I've already talked with Steve about the upgrading the signs that are on the streets. They're just a little rinky-dink sign about that big that says airport. And the other people have got on the highways, etc. I mean, historic Holman Stadium's got a sign on the turnpike. We should get a sign out there for exit 7 or 8, whatever it is.
We do.
7. 7
or 6.
Just airport.
It's 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's one of these little ones.
It's standard.
Yeah, but historic Holman Stadium's got one as big as this county here, you know? I mean, fair is fair.
What historic Watt Field is that?
It is historic.
I know.
It's historic. Okay.
Mine's going to be a long time. It'll be about 9.
That's
no,
okay.
So. It'll be quick. I don't know how many of you know, but Lauren LeCaire is leaving Infinity Aviation. She's moving to Colorado, so that's a huge loss. She learned to fly here at Webster, and great girl. She's going to be missed. Rex Lint is very, very ill, and it's not looking good for him, so if any of you know Rex, be sure to send a message his way that you're thinking about him. John Connolly also passed away. John gave me my first aerobatic ride in a pit, made me fly it, and he was a wonderful, wonderful, great, great guy. Ronnie Hemont has owned Air Direct Airways for a long time, and I meant to mention it at the last meeting, and I forgot. But he has partnered with Granite State College, and he is doing an incredible, incredible business. He's downstairs from Midfield now over at the National Jet Building. And he's the only Part 141 school, and he has just signed on a ton more students. He's doing really, really great. So be sure to swing by and talk with Ronnie. Don't forget about his poker run on the 25th. It's a lot of fun. You fly to 5 or 6 different airports. Six?
Five.
And come back. And this year it'll be right in front of Nashua Jet, in front of Midfield. I always donate the food for a cookout. He asks for donations, and all the donations go to Homes for Our Troops. So that's a great cause and a good way to get people flying. And hopefully it'll be a nice day. Also on July 9th, with the home-built fly-in, the Warbirds are coming to our airport. They're going to help, I don't know if we can say sponsor, but I'll be doing an all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast that day, and for a donation, again, and that money will go to Honor Flight New England, okay? So that's that. We're working with CR Helicopters still to try to get a date for a helicopter fly-in, which I think would be a lot of fun. The commemorative Air Force, like you guys said, was fabulous. It was incredible. I want to thank Mike Rosenblum. He was sick as a dog for a while, had pneumonia, and still showed up at our meeting last month. So a lot of time and effort goes in up here. I like Steve and Bob. Bob's been really good about working with Steve and coming up with an action plan. Things that we always talk about, and then, you know, God knows when they get to it, but it's great. So Bob's really, really good about putting that together and staying on top of things. So if there's anything that you guys want to see done or we need to do, let us know. And Bob, again, I've been giving him a lot of names for people to do the marketing, John Henry and all that stuff. That's great. Signs, Mary Parker, I'm glad you brought that up because signs have been an issue for a very long time. I own the restaurant here. I've owned it for a long time. So word of mouth, I do a fabulous business. Knock on one of those. But 900 people call every month. Where are you? I'm driving around here. I can't find you. I know signs have been an issue with the board. I used to have signs out, and a while ago, I don't know who was on the board then, made us take them down, and they put that nice, pretty thing up that nobody can read.
Useless.
So we have got to do something about signs. We have to. And Mary Parker, I do believe, and Bob, along Sharon Ave, along where Steve Brule is, and down along Perimeter Road, we have to have some kind of signage that is decent and lets people know that we are here and they are welcome here. So definitely we need to be a little proactive and get moving on that. So perhaps maybe next meeting you can put that on the agenda to review our sign policy and I will definitely start taking donations at the restaurant for new signage if you want. Let me see, I think that's it. Oh, yeah, well, I guess that's all until Mike's done.
During the month, we received the board a resignation letter from Treasurer Mahoney, and I would entertain a motion to accept his resignation with regret. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Are you making the motion?
Or? I am making the
all
motion.
All right, I'll second the motion.
He did. He seconded.
Tory seconded.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
You can have to abstain.
You could abstain. You could abstain. You want to talk about it about your?
I'll just add my comments at the end, and I'll start with an apology. When I took the position, it was never my intent to be here. Only this, you know, 6 month time frame. But circumstances in everybody's lives change. We've had some. Our family's been faced with some significant health challenges of recently. Concerns my wife and my parents. I've also had an increase in responsibilities at work, and what I have found is that I'm not able to give the time that is really required to do this justice to this position, and I think that the only reasonable thing to do in those circumstances is to step aside, and that's what I am going to do. But I would continue the discussion and my comments by saying this. Hand in hand with the comment that I can't give it the time to do a proper job in the position is my declaration to you people that you have no idea, well, some of you probably do, but exactly how much this board really does do and what goes on behind the scenes day in and day out and week in and week out and month in and month out. Most of you, I think, see the meeting and come for the sessions and come to hear the things that pertain to your, you know, use of the airport, and that is excellent. But this group puts in lots and lots of time to look at any manner of you know, what you've seen it, the kinds of things that come up. And emails fly back and forth. There's never any unofficial meetings. Which is, and I'm not kidding, there aren't. But there is there's a significant amount of traffic, conversation, and emails throughout the course of the month. And there are a great number of things that need to be dealt with here. And I have been extremely impressed by everybody that I've worked with here and the time and effort and how seriously they take it. They know how important it is. They know that they're working for you folks, and they really, really put heart and soul into it. And I mean, I think you probably know that, but I wanted to state it. So
On that note, I will, you haven't seen the last of me. I mean, not, you have as probably a, as a director, but I'm still, you know, close to 29 Hotel Lima down on the Indian ramp and, you know, and all that jazz. So I'll be around, but I just won't be here.
Okay.
So thank you guys for everything that you do. And I say that now both as a director and also as a user of the airport.
Well, thank you for all your efforts.
Michael Voss, period. Just for everyone's information, I ran into Alderman Shulman a couple of days ago, and I mentioned to him the need for identifying two new directors, because Dennis leaves in August and Michael's leaving now. And I understood that because we changed the meeting from last night to tonight, the aldermen are not here, the two aldermen that we have. And they were going to bring the candidates?
This is one candidate.
Oh, okay.
Here tonight.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And when I met Alderman Shulman, he told me that when Michael and I were appointed, I believe there were six candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And that rather than reinvent the wheel, they were going to contact the others to see if their interest was continuous and consider them first before they put an ad in the paper, et cetera. So there is action going on.
And I'd like to follow up with that. I did talk to the mayor this morning and told him that we needed two new board members. And I felt that the process for identifying board members worked very well last time around, and he was on top of the process.
Mike Mahoney, I will definitely miss you. I really appreciate
you.
Thank you.
Your
sanity.
Thank you very much.
In also helping to promote the airport, in addition to the airport manager meeting with the new city director of
economic development,
he and I had a meeting with the president and CEO of the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce, who is very interested in helping promote the airport to the businesses in the Greater Nashua area. We talked about various opportunities available. We were invited to present to their board of directors presentation on the airport and what the advantages and economic development that we do bring to the community. And then we're going to expand on that. They were going to do some promotions through advertising and website. We're going to piggyback on some of our activities, and I think it's a beginning of a relationship that we have to expand on. We did point out to them that we were not mentioned in last year's magazine, which they apologized for. That was a major oversight, and we will surely be in this year's magazine as being mentioned. They do have opportunities for people to sit on their boards. They are looking for the airport community to be represented on their board. Shane was a board member for a period of time, and his term had expired. So if anyone is interested, either contact me or contact them for that opportunity. Glad to see that efforts in using Constant Contact has been successful and is continuing to grow. And we're having more and more activities here, and it's just great. I enjoyed coming out to see Fifi and all the people here, and it was just a an honor to be representing the airport authority to the community. Please mark your calendars for July 14th. That is the tenant barbecue. We look forward to seeing everyone out there. It is a Thursday night?
Yes, it's a Thursday.
Thursday evening, okay. And that's all I have for now.
One more quick radio.
Okay, back to Sandy.
I forgot to mention, there's people who are doing radio shows that are always coming around and asking, you know, hey, can we do a segment, can we do a segment? So I know Rob Holland went and did a wonderful, wonderful representation of the airport. Did you post that on the website?
Absolutely.
It's on the website?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you can find it on the Nashua Airport website. You know, so if anybody is interested in doing that, speaking on the radio or taking time, lots of times they want to do it on a Thursday or Friday morning, and I am not always free on those mornings. I'm pretty busy at the restaurant, but I think that would be a great opportunity. Again, it's free advertisement. So if anybody wants to contact the local radio stations, just say, hey, you know, I'd like to talk about aerobatics or, you know, whatever. You know, please go ahead and do that. Okay?
Well, I've already nominated some of you for Rosie Sampson's radio show, so you may be getting a call.
There you go.
No, that's good. I'm good.
Okay. Anything else? A motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn?
Is that a motion?
No,
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you all.
Thank you. Record time. Best
did you have best? Mary Beth, do you have the minutes for me to sign?
Oh, I was, yeah, you can sign this copy.